I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I got to tell you, you are the man. You are a box of peanut brittle.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, you said something off the top of the show that I think I actually... I'm 100% with you on. Like, summer... The NFL doesn't have summer league. And it's not that I'm... he's trying to hype it up. He's trying to... No, like, the NFL offseason is... Is big because it's the NFL.
No doubt.
But it's not really, like, there's nothing that happens during the summer for the NFL.
But you just anticipate, man. You can't wait. Like, I was asking you and Ken, how many more Sundays before we get the Canton game?
A month, right?
Yeah, a month. It's go time, E. And that's why you can have the world stop when you're the NFL. He could go. The schedule release, because it matters.
But, Goo, that's where you're different because
– Hey.
No, in a good way. Like, the NFL's not on my radar in that sense. Like, I was thinking about something having to do with football this weekend, but it wasn't like, oh, the season's coming up and, you know, training camp's around the corner. I can't wait to see. No, like, one of my buddies I was golfing with on Saturday, he is a Niners fan, and he lives in San Diego. And so one of his questions, he goes, hey, what's going on with the Niners? And I said, God, I don't know.
Last year was an anomaly.
Lenore got arrested. I don't really know what's been going on with the Niners. Like, football's not on my radar. But it's because there's no, like, NBA summer league version for the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. But it is on mine, E. And I just, you know, I talk about the breakup here. Just real quick, hashtag random. The breakup of the NBA crew, Mark Jackson, Van Gundy, and Breen. And I missed that. And thank God for YouTube. I can go get that. And sometimes it's not just for the visual either. I put the Warriors against whomever back in the past, big games, but it's also the audio. The sweet music those guys made in a booth together was like a sitcom to me. And that's what I'm doing. I listen to Kurt Gowdy, Merlin Olsen, and a young, who did I mention?
Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg, he was a baby, doing an old Super Bowl. And the audio, what do they call it? Eargasm. Like, those are just incredible. Like, that's what I'm about, E. So, the Summer League is upon us. I can't wait to watch. We're going to get to watch Cooper Flagg in Summer League. Bronny let us down.
He dunked.
But that was a spectacle.
You didn't like that?
No. But come on, I can't wait for Cooper Flagg. And they were bringing up LeBron when he played Curry. Nobody knew Curry was going to – he was just a guy out there. And, oh, but we didn't know what he is now. Man, that's incredible. Wait a minute.
You watched a 1979 Super Bowl?
I did.
Over the weekend?
Yes, Cowboys-Steelers. Terry Bradshaw had three turnovers in the first half.
Well, like, now what? I'm curious. Like, what pushed you to do that?
I didn't want to go to sleep. I was on a natural high.
But was it on – did you Google that specifically?
Yeah, search engine YouTube.
And you can find anything.
Yeah, damn near anything. You can't find Wilt's 100 game. But when I had Enberg, Merlin Olsen, and my – like, Evan, that's – I like to listen to OGs. Summerall and Madden, touchdown Rice. That's my
correct me if I'm wrong. You had to really pay attention to the broadcast because there was no score ticker.
No, I was like, what? Hey, guys, what down?
Yeah, like, I don't know what down it is.
No line.
I don't know what yardage it is.
Kurt Gowdy made sure to tell us, hey, third and whatever.
There's Bradshaw throwing another pick to the Cowboys.
Dude, but Evan, just watching how the game was played and what was allowed. It was open season on quarterbacks after an interception. You could throw the dude to the other side. Nothing to see here.
See, this is why a couple of weeks ago when we were about like unwritten rules in sports, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You can't just decapitate a wide receiver over the middle of the field anymore. That used to be okay in the 70s.
Wow, think
and you
about
can't
it.
Do it.
Man.
You can't play even like Ryan Clark played in 2012. You just can't do that anymore.
It's real, Evan, but just the stuff that was allowed, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Some of the stuff I know people want to bring back, but some stuff you just got to let go. Speaking of which, Kuminga, I'm just kidding. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. I do want to get to this bigger picture thought I've had about the NBA in a moment. But before we do, I want to clean up this this call here. Kevin's been waiting patiently in Fremont. Kevin, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Not too much. Kuminga has been an ongoing topic, and he will always be an ongoing topic until he gets traded. I think the Warriors made it pretty clear as to what they thought of him when they deactivated him for most games. And then Kerr is kind of forced to come out and say, oh, you know, I can make something of him if I have an off season, we have training camp. He's kind of forced to say that. But Guru, I have a bigger issue with you specifically.
Easy.
Okay. You keep saying he's a great, you know, he has the potential to be great. I don't see any skill other than wanting to score the basketball that he really brings right now naturally to the court. Mm. And I'm going to draw this comparison because you've mentioned him in the past.
Okay.
Larry Smith, I know I'm going way back, but he played the same position, power forward, okay? And he naturally, the moment he hit the court, was a rebounder and defender,
yeah.
And you knew it. You didn't know if he could score ever, and he did score once he went to Houston. But you knew for sure you were going to get rebounding and defense. And I'm sorry, but I think you have an over-inflated idea of what Kuminga is going to bring. He may score, but he's going to turn the ball over, and Curry already scores and turns the ball over. Okay? He does not bring consistent defense. He does not bring consistent rebounding. And as a power forward, I'm sorry, I can't have Brandon Przinski out-rebounding you every night.
You're
okay,
right.
So what I'm saying to you is, I'm sorry, but he has to go for that reason. And I don't know what the Warriors are going to do because they're caught in a horrible position. He doesn't have the value he probably had 2 years ago. But that's the Warriors' fault for even drafting him as a project, in my opinion. Mm. They needed to draft a more ready-made basketball player. The basketball, not just an athlete, an actual basketball player. So, Guru, I'm afraid I'm going to have to disagree to disagree with you as far as he does not bring enough to the court as a ready-made basketball player at this point.
Man, I appreciate the honesty. And that's what this is about, opinions. But, Evan, I hope I'm not out here caping or over-inflating what I think of J.K. A lot of it is the P word, potential. And a lot of
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The things he just mentioned, I loved it. And I've said it to you. I've screamed it on these airwaves. There's no world that it's okay for a guy like Pods to out-rebound you. That's just one. Then I'm coming down your road, Kuminga, if you're listening, because the coach basically said without saying it, you ain't been around. And if I'm trying to impress my employer or I'm trying to get a bigger role, guess what, Evan? I'm doing the little things, but I'm going to be seen so everybody can know, oh, he wants it. And I don't know where the disconnect lies. I'll pull it for the sake of this conversation and that call at the doorstep of Kuminga. But what I do want to do is there was a little Steiny in that take.
Oh, my God. You're
excuse me. And it wasn't bad. The cigars over the weekend. So it's kind of funny when we talk about what Kuminga can't do. That guy was right. I'm disappointed in the growth or non-growth of the handles. You should have been with Handy. I've seen you pick up LeBron 94 feet. I don't know why you don't do that all
LeBron's
the way.
40.
Okay, I get, he was 38 this time. It was a couple years ago. Right. 37. But the bottom line is, oh, the things that Kuminga can do, Steiny will say, oh, he's just a scorer, and that caller did it a little bit. Oh, he could score. No. What we got to keep it real with is he can attack the rim at will with reckless abandon. And he don't make the free throws at 80%, but we all see he can attack the rim with that athleticism and quick step with I won't say with the best of them, but we saw that against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I just say let's keep it real when we're throwing shade at a player for what he can't do and just say, oh, all Ken can do is score. Well, that takes some skill too. And Kuminga can come downhill to where I'm like, that's why it's not all him, Evan and Ken. Well, let's help him get better in those other areas. And maybe that's already happened.
Or maybe it never will happen.
Yeah.
That's something we have to
then we should have
allow
some
as a possibility.
Right now, then, E.
Well,
trade
no,
him and
we
take
can't.
Something back for nothing. Because that's what that caller was getting. You know, he didn't say it, and I appreciate it because it was a lot of good points. But I believe Kuminga with the right toolage, and maybe it's a new coach, E. We had talked about it. I don't want Kerr out of town, but the right on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Controllers. Am I correct? He's got one more year left on his deal. So what if it was to get announced that Kuminga's coming back for three? What would life be with Kuminga, young player still at 22, 23, with a new coach or a new voice? I'm just wondering out loud.
No, I think that's a great point, and I'm going to tell you why in one sec. Right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Evan Infersteiny with Goo. I'm glad you mentioned that detail, because I think that the more I think about it, the last year of Kerr's contract is a big deal.
Wow.
Because, and I said it earlier, and I feel even stronger about it now that you just hit me over the head with that factoid. Why, in the last year of his contract, when he is only concerned with winning games and bringing a potential fifth title to Golden State, would Steve Kerr treat Jonathan Kuminga any differently than he has for the last 4 years? Or really, down the stretch of last season? Why would he treat him any differently in a year where there's pressure, there's not much time left, and you may only have one good crack at this thing left? Because you're either going to be gone, your players might prove to be too old, or you might be over the hill as a group. Why would Steve Kerr go about coaching Kuminga any differently? That dynamic, that relationship, if there's one thing I feel confident in next year, their relationship, Kuminga and Kerr's, is not going to change. Why would it?
That's phenomenal, and I only got one answer, and you give me your honest assessment of my answer. We all have to answer to somebody higher up.
We do.
And Steve Kerr is a made man. I'm not running him out of town. But to answer what you just hit us with, Evan, and Joe Lacob signs the checks, and if he's looking down the road and only he knows with his intel, if Kerr, this is really the last rodeo or the last dance for Kerr, and brings Kuminga back for 2, 3, or however many years, right there, that sends a signal to me that I need to go into my coach's office, Joe Lacob, and not get loud, but say, hey, Steve, this is what time it is. This is why we have to do this differently with said player, and that being Kuminga. Do you leave that on the table at all? Because if not, then I am truly grasping at straws, and you're right. Like, nothing's going to change if it hasn't now outside the owner saying, look, this dude's going to be here when you're not here, Steve. We got three older guys. There is no reason that we don't use him more and try to get him groomed this offseason if that's not happening now. But that shot would have to come from Lacob.
All right, Goo, let's do this then. Because okay. I've been waiting.
And that's a stretch.
We haven't role played in a while.
All right. Yeah, all right. Acting.
Cut that. I'll be Steve Kerr. You be Joe Lacob.
Okay.
All right. How's this going to go down? You're going to walk into my office. Let's say tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga have come to terms on a 3-year, $75 million deal.
All right, I come. You ready?
Yeah, you come to my office.
Look, Steve, you know I love you. I'm just thinking about this offseason. I can't even sleep at night. And as you know, we got this, we're stuck.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I just want to be honest with you.
I got you.
You've done everything. You went above and beyond.
So did you.
And you brought me 4 championships. But I got to tell you, Steve, and I haven't told you much since we've been working together,
and
what
I
to do.
I appreciate you.
And I'm not doing it now, Steve, but I got to tell you, I'm bringing Kuminga back for 3 more years. He is a staple of our future and what's going to pop off after Steph Curry and Dre are gone. Steve, I need a solid. I need you. And, Steve, I'm not asking you. I'm kind of telling you. In your last year, I need Jonathan Kuminga to be a factor in this team moving forward. And when you – I know you're looking at me like, where am I going?
Sure.
Steve, you got to play him. You got to play him more. And if you start him, I get it. But that's what I'm doing here. This guy needs to be featured as part of our future this upcoming season.
And he will be. I'm going to give him a little bit of an opportunity to play alongside Jimmy. See if that combination, which is a word I use often, is going to work out. But let me ask you this. So you got Kuminga for 3 years. Did you get him a 3-point shot?
No, we're working on that.
Did you get him quicker feet?
I like where
did you get him stickier hands?
Steve, we're working on that, and that's part of your job and the coach's staff, too, to give him up and running. Just get him better, improvement in those areas.
Well, I got 1 year left. I mean, I'm trying to win. And if Kuminga can help us win, then he'll play. But, Joe, I need you to understand that if you want what we all want, which is a 5th title, you got to trust me. And if you don't, then at the end of the year, this might need to be it.
You know what, Steve? I appreciate the honesty. And what's funny about that is I have trusted you. I have trusted you 4 years with Kuminga, and look where we're at.
Mm.
I don't want to say it's all on you.
Now, you took him.
I did.
Mm.
But we took him because we thought we could have him up and running and be greater than what he is right now. And I got to tell you, DMPs towards the end of the season last year, I didn't agree with that, but I let you do what you needed to do. So I'm just telling you right now, Steve, moving forward, I'm not asking, but I'm hoping you can get what I'm putting down here. I need to see Jonathan Kuminga on the floor for us this upcoming year.
Yeah, I think I want Gary Payton II. No, just kidding.
But do you
yeah.
do you even think conversations
what you're
like
saying.
That happen, though? Like one-on-one?
Probably not the way that we just did it, but
no,
yeah.
But you're right. That is my nightmare. What's going to change if you bring him back this upcoming year? Because, Evan, I'm not being sometimey.
That's the million-dollar question.
As a fan, that's all I'm occupied with is this next year. And the one thing, again, if Curry doesn't get hurt, how much improvement do we really need? And nobody's above that. But if Curry's hammy does not go, is this team in the Western Conference Finals? And now we just need a little dot your I's and cross your T's around the edges. We don't need what we think we need.
But how are we going to dot our I's and cross our T's when – all right, we lost Looney. That's an I we got to dot. We're probably going to lose Payton. That's a T we got to cross. And we're going to need a whole lot of other letters because we got 9 guys on our roster. I think the Warriors are in a position where they have to figure out how this thing doesn't slip away. Like, you get one more. I think they have a good chance to, I don't know about make a run, but be competitive for another year, and then what you figure out if you're going to roll it over the year after. I don't think they have a 5-year plan at this point.
That's what you're signed up for, though, Evan. There is that, like, this is all already, and don't tell Stoney this.
Well, he's listening.
The odds of us winning 5, I'm saying us, I love it, Evan, 5 again at this age. Evan, let me tell you something. I wasn't born yesterday, man.
I know.
I'm just, wow, me feeling a lot better.
No, right? you did say you rolled back the 1979 Super Bowl over the weekend, so dating yourself a little bit.
But I enjoyed it.
I know.
Evan, let me just tell you, it's kind of a long shot with your 3 stewards being the age of Butler, Dre, and Steph.
Oh, yeah.
So you are doing something. There's no manual for it.
No, I like they're in uncharted waters. I mean, they're in the deep end of a pool, or like they're trying. I don't know what they're trying to do. If they bring in Horford, I think someone said it earlier, and I wouldn't be necessarily shocked if they brought in Horford and he starts. I have to imagine that's one of, if not the oldest starting fives in NBA history.
I I'm a bet man. I would totally bet that
Curry's gonna be 38. Draymond's going to be 35. Jimmy Butler turns 35, yeah. I think right before the end, okay. The beginning of the season.
Right.
And Al Horford's going to be 39 years old.
He'll be 40 before next season's
over. Oh, my God. Yeah, like, so they're building a senior home starting five, and they're expecting that team to run the table. Well, not run the table, but, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're trying to do the best they can, and that's, right now, the path that they have appeared to choose is a path with a lot of older veterans with a ton of mileage, and they're praying to God that that car starts 82 times over the course of this season.
And that's why it hurts. And you say what, if you're out there listening to us, Evan, and you tell me what you think. The bottom line is, in a perfect world, if Kuminga, I'm not comparing him to Kawhi Leonard, but if you got your bang for your buck like the Spurs did and raised him and then watch him go through his basketball puberty and then take over the helm, that's how you draw it up. That is what I deem perfection, and Kawhi become the face of your franchise. What hurts is everything that you said is fact in regard to the ages, where they're at. But, Evan, if Kuminga, let's just say, was three steps away of possibly one day being an all-star – or somewhere close to that, wouldn't you feel a lot better about, man, that's our young guy. We don't know what he's going to be in the future, but you know what we do know? He's going to be a part of it. And the fact that he could get traded today or something could pop off, it's just that it doesn't minimize the failure, because there is failure that we're in year four, Evan, and nobody knows anything. And the 415 says, just to our the older caller that pointed out, Evan, if I don't say another word on this show, I know a lot of people be happy, but don't let me get in the Cadillac without fixing or rectifying. I do not have an overinflated opinion on JK. I just know
why
he
is that
has
one sticking with you?
Because I know, and the caller kind of was alluding to it. I'm not telling you he's Paul George. I want him to be. But I'm telling you, I'm still not out on a 22-year-old, because now I'm starting to think, why is he not doing the things that I think come easy to him, like rebounding? And Evan, maybe he's a basketball player scorned, and he doesn't want to do it for the people here. He goes somewhere else, and it'll hit different. I don't know, but I'm not ready to give him away for free. And maybe you sign. I was going to ask you this. You're my Bobby Marks. I'm running on.
Oh, boy.
If you brought him back for one, you still can move him at the deadline, and that would do what in regard to what you could get back? Or all it's all
it would
good.
Hurt what you would be able to get back, because he'd be an expiring contract.
Wow. So, okay. So that's not on the board, do you think?
I think if it's a one-year scenario.
I don't like that you just said that.
But also means that you would have to trade him. Because otherwise he'd probably walk in as an unrestricted free agent. The worst thing that can happen for the Warriors, which I think is not off the table, is Kuminga takes the qualifying offer.
Oh, man.
It becomes a huge distraction this season, which it is and has been pretty much for this entire offseason and going back to last year. And then he becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season and walks for nothing. Like, you don't get what you want, which is a potential trade chip or maybe a young future piece of your franchise.
Which that ship feels like it's sailing.
You can't trade him, and you're going to get nothing for him. Like But that's also him betting on himself. I'd like to think that the security of, say, a three-year contract would be good enough for him and the Warriors to come to some agreement. But I don't know that for a fact. And Kuminga, by all body language, appears to be more concerned with what his role is going to be in the future and how he's going to be maximized, which just hasn't been the case. You know, I see Jackie, I see Steve on the other side. I do want to get to your calls. I promise you, we are going to get into this offseason, but again, it's got our heads turning here on a Monday. Like, what is the goal right now? They're stuck in a holding pattern. They haven't made a move. And I think the goal is to remain relevant, which they have failed at so far. And I don't really know how they're going to change that. Is the goal now to just make sure they don't get worse? What does this offseason become as we move forward with the Golden State Warriors? All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're taking your calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're back on the other side on 95.7 The Game. We haven't role played in a while.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.